101 Northridge, Los Angeles, KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo, a service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Voted Station of the Year by our peers in American Public Music Radio.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender-expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now.
Yeah. you should be living it high. You should be living it high.
It's only April, but that sounds like a song of the summer. And I've got a feeling that there's a lot more of that summer vibe coming to us in July when the new Remy Wolf album drops. It's called Big Ideas. That's a first taste of it. Cinderella on She Rose Radio. Also back to Jasmine Sullivan's 2015 album Reality Show for If You Dare, wishing Jasmine a very happy birthday on Tuesday, April 9th. And with that, I welcome you to She Rose Radio, my friends. I'm your host, Carmen.
Carmel Holt. It is so great to see you as always, as together we turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation for the next hour. This week, we welcome Laura Lee of Krungbin as our featured guest in celebration of their new album, A La Sala. That's coming up in the second part of the show, so do stay with us for that. Right now, something new from another artist named Jasmine Rose Wilson, a.k.a. Baby Rose, who's teamed up with Bad Bad Not Good for a new six-song EP called Slow Burn, which is out on Friday, April 12th. Here's One Last Dance.
You know I still remember. Try so hard, but I can't forget you. And I know that things have changed. Didn't think I'd see you again. But for old times, give me one last dance. Oh. Ooh. Are you doing better? Now you're here looking good as ever. Know that things have changed. Didn't think I'd see you again. I know you'll be alright if you never see me again. Oh.
don't worry me. Good man. When it rains in here, it's storming on the sea. When it
Billie Holiday was born April 7th, 1915, marking the occasion with that song Stormy Weather on She Rose Radio. And a new one by Baby Rose and Bad Bad Not Good, One Last Dance from their new EP Slow Burn. That's out on Friday. I'm Carmel Holt, and stay with us. Next up is our She Rose conversation with Laura Lee Ochoa of Krungbin when She Rose Radio continues.
For the price of one coffee a week to wake you up, you could subscribe to the SoCal Sound and awaken everyone to exciting public radio. Subscribe today at thesocalsound.org.
Support for the SoCal Sound comes from Ciclovía. Inspired by Bogota's weekly Ciclovía, Ciclovía temporarily closes streets to car traffic and opens them to Angelenos to use as a public park. Open to all, Ciclovía connects communities to each other across an expansive city, creating a safe place to bike, walk, skate, roll, and dance through Los Angeles County. More information is available at ciclovia.org.
Support for the SoCal Sound is made possible by Subaru of Glendale. The 2024 Forester provides all-terrain capability, all-wheel drive, advances in technology and safety, and is ready for your spring adventures. The Forester is available now at Subaru of Glendale, located on Brand Boulevard, just off the 5 and 134 freeways. Information available at SubaruofGlendale.com. That's SubaruofGlendale.com.
This is Blues Power.
Rock, reggae, blues, soul, local music. Everything under the SoCal Sound musical sun plays here.
You're listening to She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. Our guest this week is a singer, songwriter, musician, and incredible bass player for what is one of the most sonically unique and successful bands of the past decade, with an equally unusual backstory. The trio Krungbin is a mostly instrumental band out of Houston, Texas, with a Thai name who write and play a sonic fusion of globally influenced and genre-busting music. Their roots go back to the early aughts, when its drummer DJ and guitarist Mark Spear played together in a church gospel band, then met Laura Lee Ochoa, and formed a friendship that eventually led to her discovery of the bass and ultimately to founding their band, Krungbin. Now, over a decade in, Krungbin has become a hugely successful touring band. And with that success, they found a need to recalibrate and reconnect with each other as the family they have become. The result is a fantastic new album, also their fourth full-length release, with the appropriately cozy title, A La Sala, or To the Living Room. In today's conversation, Laura Lee, a.k.a. Leezy, shares her journey from her own childhood living room, which inspired the title, to her pursuit of visual art, to picking up the bass and starting the band, the role of her alter ego, Leezy, and how that is evolving, and integrating her newest role as a mother into her life as a touring musician with her chosen family of Krungbin. I'm thrilled to welcome Laura Lee as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Laura Lee, welcome to Shiro's.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I was really excited when this came in. So thank you for having me.
First up, I just want to say congratulations on A La Sala. What a gorgeous collection. How did this all coalesce?
I mean, I think we've been itching to just be in a room, the three of us making music for a really long time. When we recorded Mordecai, it was in 2019, we played, I think, at least 150 shows that year. Plus, we recorded Texas Sun, some of Texas Moon, and part of Ali. So it was a whirlwind of a year. We just hadn't been the three of us in a long time. And then COVID happened, which was the longest time the three of us had ever been apart. And the record came out while that was happening. And then we came back to tour Mordecai, and the world was changed. And we were all of a sudden playing these really big venues, sometimes multiple nights at those venues. And it just felt like so much had changed. And while we did metaphorically hold each other's hands throughout, the ship had just become a bigger ship than it ever was. And there were more voices around. There were more fans around. Everything had changed. And so I think the need to just get back to basics, just the three of us with Steve, our engineer, and his cat or cats, however many he has at the time, was really important. And it was so important that we used less to make this record. And it was the first time we've actually never had any guests at all on our record. And we love our like Houston homies, but I think we like really desperately needed to just kind of be like, the three of us are enough as we always were. And we don't need to listen to what anybody wants other than us.
And I love that about a power trio or even just the shape of a triangle. And I know that you have a background in architecture, so I was looking forward to talking to you about the geometry of this setup. You know, it's very, very stable. The triangle.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Totally. Strong foundation. And it's also great because there's always a majority.
Yes.
But like, we all trust each other. So it's like, if two of us feel really strongly about something, mm-hmm. it's usually enough. And we have a rule. It's like, if they're one versus two, and you're like, no, I'm digging my heels in, I feel very passionately about this thing, then we're like, okay, we'll look at that.
I do want to talk to you about the trio and you being outnumbered in that situation in terms of your gender. But before we go there, can we play a track from the new album? What would you like to start with today?
Oh, well, let's start with May 9th. So this song, the original creation of it happened, I think, before the band even started. It was something that Mark wrote himself and had been keeping in a deep vault. And he brought it out for the session and it felt so right. And I don't want to tell anything about the story. I think it's just one of the most meaningful, beautiful tracks on the record to me.
Bye-bye.
May 9th, track 2 on the new Krungbin album, A La Sala. And I have Laura Lee here with us on Shiro. She's the bassist for the band, the creative director for the band. Going into it, we were talking about the shape of a trio. I mentioned in passing your background in architecture. Just to give a full picture of who you are creatively, can you talk us through your timeline a little bit of your creative evolution leading into Krungbin?
Sure. It's a big one. I went to school very early, but I went to architecture school initially. I was 16. I was way too young to be like devoting almost 24 hours a day to something because I had no idea what I wanted. I eventually switched to art history, but definitely like I love the arts, for lack of a better word. And I worked in art museums for, I guess, about 5 years leading up to Krungbin, which was how I met Mark, because I worked installation with his roommate. I met him at their house and he was watching this documentary on Afghani music, and I was studying art in the ancient Near East. And that was a very niche thing to bond over at the time. And then Mark had been playing gospel with DJ, and the three of us met for burgers every Tuesday night for 3 years before I picked up a bass and before we started Krungbin.
You had played music before that, though, right?
Yeah, I played piano when I was a kid, and then I took up guitar for a couple years in high school, but it didn't click. Maybe if my teacher had encouraged me to buy an electric guitar and not an acoustic guitar, which is just really painful for little tiny fingers, maybe I would have stuck with it. But it wasn't until playing bass. I was like near graduating college when I picked it up, and it just made sense to me more than anything has ever. There's certain things like, you know, I was in art classes forever. I studied under a painter. I thought that that's what I wanted to do with my life, and I love it. And it's not to say that I don't love my drawings and what I make, but like you just kind of know when something just feels so right, or like you're working hard at something and you love it and that's wonderful, but it just doesn't like sing. But there was something about playing bass that like just physically felt right to me. And then all of a sudden, Mark and DJ, who I obviously still admire so much, but at the time I just like couldn't believe I was hanging around these like giantly talented people. They loved the way I played. And it made me feel like I really had something, you know.
That's an incredible story.
Thank you.
So it's still pretty unique for a woman to be playing bass. Were you aware of that, that it was something that was a little bit unusual for your gender?
Totally. I mean, I definitely felt cool. But I mean, I love Tina Weymouth, like always have.
Hell, I always thought,
like, not only did she look amazing when she played, but her feel is very much a woman feel. Like, I personally think you can hear a woman's touch on a bass. So I like it. I think it really adds something. It definitely wouldn't sound the same. I personally believe if an experienced male bass player was playing the exact same thing that I was, it just wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
And certainly visually it added something. And I think the friendship between the three of us and the diversity between the three of us makes us who we are. And it's like so important. Yeah, I love it. I'm so glad. I mean, I will say since, and it's not because of me, so this is not me taking credit, but since becoming a bass player, there has been such a rise of female bass players, and it's wonderful.
Have you had the experience yet of young women telling you that they picked up the bass after seeing you play?
Totally. And so inspiring to me. I certainly didn't have that. I definitely did not grow up as a little girl thinking I'm going to play bass. I had, you know, secret visions and dreams of being in a rock band, but I certainly didn't think it would be behind a bass guitar. Probably because there just wasn't, you know, like you're saying.
Yeah, it's really a powerful thing. What areas have you noticed in your trajectory now? It's been a decade plus, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you just mentioned an increase in seeing more women playing the bass. Anything else that you've seen change, or anything that you've seen not change that you think we still need to do some work on in that way?
I think it's both. Mm. I will say we are half and half. girls and boys on our touring team, but also in our greater team.
That's amazing.
Which it is amazing. And when we first started touring and we were looking for a front of house engineer, I did specifically request to find a female. And it wasn't like, we're not going to hire a male, because that wasn't it. But it was just sort of like, it would be nice to have a female energy on our team that's involved in the sound, you know, not just like somebody on our crew, but somebody actually involved in the sonics, so that I wouldn't be alone. And also because why not? And I remember at the time when I asked for this, it was like, we had interviews with a couple of female sound engineers and it wasn't the right fit. Mm-hmm. And the people that brought them to us would be like, but she's a girl.
Right.
Like, I'm not just looking like, just a female doesn't mean that that's right. It has to be the right fit in addition, you know? So we started there, and I think Jade Payne, she's amazing. I love her so much. She's like our longest member of our touring party. But I think especially with her, probably more than anyone, I've noticed how she's treated at venues because she's a female. Mm-hmm. And it's become better and she's become known on her own. But especially at the beginning, the amount of like condescending handholding that the venue front of house person would do, and me having to watch her politely tell them that she was good. You know, that's been one of the greatest things for me to watch, is to watch her grow alongside of us. But I think there's still work to be done, you know. I've noticed that it helps that right now our team has so many women. So when we rock up to a place, we're such a force. But I think like when we were less, it was harder. There was still this just like boys club thing at venues. And that's okay. It's like it exists because that's just the way that it was. And it's not necessarily anybody's fault, but it hurts as a woman going into a place and not getting the same level of respect. For me, my experience, one of the funniest things that used to happen to me when we were starting playing and we didn't have a front of house engineer, we didn't have really anybody touring with us. We started to have a tour manager at some point in time, but it was like, you're relying on the house crew to help you. Mm-hmm. And I personally like my bass, I like the mids to be higher than anything else. And so I would ask them to turn the lows down, and the like amount of like huffing and puffing or scoffing I got, it was like, but you play bass, like you're playing the low end. Like we're, you know, and I was like, no, I actually don't want to be boomy. And it was this real, like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. And I would have to have Mark or DJ kind of step in to help me out, because it was like, what do I know? And what I notice is that as time's gone on, I just feel stronger and I feel more confident. And you know, it's like dogs can like sniff fear. And so I think when you're insecure around somebody who's talking down to you, then you don't seem like you know what you're talking about.
Right.
And now I just have a little bit more courage when I speak, so that it's like, no, this is the way that it is. Period.
We have Laura Lee of Krungbin here with us on Sheer Rose. The new Krungbin album is A La Sala. It is their fourth studio album. Will you share why it's called A La Sala?
I called it that because when I was a little girl, like 3 or 4, and I really wanted to get everybody together in my family, I would run around the house screaming, A la sala, a la sala. And it meant that everybody needed to go to the living room immediately. And for us, it was sort of like, because this was about us coming together in this sort of familial way, it felt really appropriate.
You want to take us to another track on this album? What's your favorite today?
My favorite track today is Pon Pon.
How come? Yes.
Because it was the little engine that could of the record. It was almost kicked off the album several times and it really made it. And now it like it sounds awesome. And so, yeah, it's my favorite today.
Mm-hmm.
That's Pon Pon. It falls just about halfway through the new Krungpin album, A La Sala. We have Laura Lee here with us on Shiros. You have an alter ego in this band called Leezy. Talk to us a little bit about that evolution. Talk to us about being the visual center of attention with the band as a woman, as the only woman in the band.
Yeah. I mean, at the very beginning, I wanted to not be known on stage, and Houston's music scene is relatively small and everybody knew who I was. So we were opening up for a Houston legend, our very first show. And I knew that everybody I knew would be at that concert. And I wanted to feel like an alien creature, you know, on stage. So that was the initial sort of spark. I don't know if you've ever worn a wig, but there's something about the wig that because it's literally not yours, you feel like you're stepping into this other world. And so I think I liked that. It was like my shield. I mean, the first tour I went on, I wore sunglasses the whole tour. I had my normal hair, but the sunglasses acted as my shield. And I didn't want to wear sunglasses on stage. So this wig ended up helping. And it was just like the clothes and everything started to take form.
I mean, it's interesting because in the context of the Shiros conversation, I've had the full range, right? There's like the kind of, ew, I don't want to be like gazed at this way. I want the attention to be on the music, not on my boobs or whatever. So I'm going to wear baggy, oversized clothes. I've talked to women who had that in the beginning. And then as success found them, they were like, I'm wearing a cat suit on stage. Like, this is me and my body, and it feels good, and I want to move, and it just feels better. So anyway, I was just like, I was just psyched to open that floor, you know, a little
totally.
Bit.
It changes for me, you know, where I'm at. I remember at the beginning, the first stylist I worked with was the same stylist I work now, but when we first started working together, I wanted to be as much of an art piece as I could on stage, more so than I was concerned about being sexy. And if I was, then that was a great bonus, but that wasn't the focal point. And certainly at some point, I entered a like, no, I'm going to flaunt this. And it looks so awesome. I enjoyed feeling like that. And I'm proud of it. That's still not my main intention.
Yeah.
You know, but I enjoyed it. And it was something that I had to step into. Definitely didn't have the confidence to do that at the beginning. And I think that when I made the decision to strut around in the smaller outfits, I was doing it for me to some sort of like, I'm going to have this moment. Right now, I definitely am feeling different. I don't know what this year's outfits are going to be just yet, but I know that I want it to be a change because I am changed and I'm a mom. And not to say that I think I should wear more clothing because I'm a mom, because that isn't the thing. It's just sort of like, I just feel different. And I don't know what that is going to amount to in the clothing that I wear. But I know it's going to be a departure from, you know, 2022.
Mazel tov, by the way, on having a kid.
Yes, it's a whole nother aspect of females on the road.
I was just going to say, I'm so glad that you brought that up because it was absolutely something that I wanted to talk with you about.
Yeah. I mean, I've always known that I wanted to have kids, or at least a kid, but it was never the right time. Timing did play a factor. We had made the decision to tour Mordecai and we knew we were going to take a year off touring afterwards, at least. And I met a special someone and it was like, well, I have this gap. And also, I think that we are in a place in our careers where I can do this in a really manageable way. We can afford the help. We can afford the space on tour for it. I can't imagine trying to have done this 5 years ago. certainly at the start of Krungbin. It's like, I can't go back and say that it would have been impossible for us to still have the kind of success, but I can't see how that would have happened. You know, our first year, we played almost 200 shows, and I want to be a present mom. So how to do both things is really complicated. There is a rule book for a rock star dad. You know, there is not a rule book for a rock star mom. Since being pregnant and having a kid, I've been put in contact with Charity from Head and the Heart. She's touring with her two kids. So she's been like my spirit animal guide, telling me like the type of gear to bring. And she got a pelican for her kids and all kinds of like really practical advice. And now there's been like, seems like a moms on tour support group that's starting to form that has been so nice. Like, I had a meltdown yesterday about various things between tour and motherhood. And I was just like, I just want like a touring mom hug, you know, and I got it. But it's hard. I mean, it is like a lot of things have to be put in place. And more so than that, you have to have such a supportive network around you to be who you want to be in both places, you know, and how you make that work. But it's interesting because it's like to tie into what you were saying before about clothes. And I was saying, well, I'm a mom now, so I don't know if I want to wear that. It's not about how I want to be presented. It's that like, I want to be able to put my daughter to bed and I might not have time to get that outfit fitted, you know?
That's amazing.
So, yeah. You know, I'm having to prioritize different things in my life. And while the outfits are still going to be important, I need to figure out some way of not making them take up so much time. And so it has to look and feel differently because I'm adjusting to being a mom. And she's coming with me. I'm going to be with her as much as humanly possible on the road because that's the kind of mom I want to be. Mm. But I realized, like, I felt so guilty leading up to this tour, knowing how many expenses I was going to have that the band was going to pay for. And it wasn't because of them. They, before I even went to them to talk about it, had already agreed and approved that things were going to cost a lot more because I was taking a kid on the road and they supported it. But at some point, I had to have a talk with myself and say,
yeah,
I'm not going to apologize for needing more because I'm a mom now. And because I'm a woman, essentially, touring. And I mean, it's up to the men, I guess, ultimately, because you can tour with your family no matter what sex you are. But it's more common for men to go off on the road and come back to their families versus taking them on the road. But it was like, it was not a choice for me. But yeah, it's like more rare than it is to have women in venues is to have moms on tour and in venues. And I'm so, so grateful to be in a position to be able to do it all. And I have to shout out my partner, who is male, who is like coming on road with me.
Hell yeah.
Rare is the mom on tour. And also rare is the male giving up so much to support the woman. You know, it takes a village and I love my village.
And what perfect timing with an album that represents all of this. The new Krungbin album is A La Sala. Laura Lee, thank you so much for being with us. Before we wrap up, I have a final question. It is a wrap-up exercise that I do at the end of every episode.
Okay.
It's called the Shiro's Magic Wand. Are you ready for this?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Laura Lee, I hand you the Shiro's Magic Wand with which you hold the power to change anything in the music industry for women, non-binary people. What would you change? The first wave of the wand.
I mean, I just like right now I'm just envisioning myself like waving the wand and me making dreams possible. And that's just what it feels like. I just wish everything could be a dreamier place.
Love it. With thanks to Laura Lee, take us out with a final track from A La Sala.
Okay, my final pick is Todavía Viva, which translates still alive. We are all still alive and kicking.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura Lee. Thank you for being with us on She Rose.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Laura Lee Ochoa for being with us. Krungbin's brand new album, A La Sala, is out now on Dead Oceans. Today's interview was condensed and edited for radio. And to hear more, download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, distributed by Talkhouse and available everywhere. Next, we close the hour celebrating the 60th birthday of Amy Ray of the Indigo Girls and spin a new track by Adrian Lanker of Big Thief. When She Rose Radio continues.
Hey, it's Nick Harcourt inviting you to join me for the morning show with Jet, weekday mornings from 6 till 10 with regular giveaways, features like our Latin alternative track of the day, Nick's pick, and Fresh Squeeze track of the day, and we play more music than anywhere else in town. Join us weekday mornings 6 till 10 right here at 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
It's She Rose Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. This Friday, April 12th, the iconic singer-songwriter, activist, and founding member of the Indigo Girls, Amy Ray, will be 60 years young. Wishing her the happiest birthday as we spin this brand new one by the Indigo Girls, which was written by Amy Ray, featured on the motion picture soundtrack to Glitter and Doom, which is a new film, fantastical romance set to the hits of the Indigo Girls. This is What We Wanna Be.
All by yourself coming home. Do you take off the clothes that you wore to work, peeling the paint from the wood? Do you dream in the dark of the roots and trees, the scars and all the uncovering? Yeah, whenever that shame tries to bury you, I hope you will find your way through. Remember, I am, am I. Tell you mine and you tell me yours, and we will know we are more. And remember when you feel you go astray, who made the rules for us anyway?
Yeah, we get to be what we want to be.
When the face on that moon is just a dead pen for your rhyme, and when it's just enough,
yeah, we get to be what we want to be.
All I know, when I let go of all this woe. You'll be my Valentine's swords, I'll be love's echo and reports. Together we'll dance under that turning sky, like tumbling bats as the stars arrive. And the face on that moon is gonna laugh and swim.
good to be me.
Totally obsessed with the new Adrian Lenker album, Bright Future. That was Fool on She Rose Radio. And we're wishing Amy Ray of the Indigo Girls a very happy 60th birthday on Friday, April 12th. We heard their brand new track, What We Want to Be, from the Glitter and Doom soundtrack. And by the way, if you're an Amy Ray fan, definitely check out our recent She Rose interview on the She Rose podcast. And that does it for this week's edition of She Rose. Thanks to you for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. She Rose Radio is produced by me and is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, distributed by Talk House and available everywhere. Keep in touch. Call us toll free, 833-MY-SHERO. Find us on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Carmel Holt or at She Rose Radio and online at SheRoseRadio.com. Until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.
88.5 FM, KCSN and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
It just don't hurt no more.